Hello, welcome back. Next, we have just talked about contract breaches and fulfillments. Obviously, when we discussed this previously, there's one of two ways a contract can go. You can fulfill it, you can discharge it, you can remove your obligations under it, or you can breach it. And we talked at length about breaching. Breaching is when you do not fulfill the contract. When you fulfill it, everything's great, and the contract did what it was supposed to and satisfied all the elements, and all the obligations and duties were discharged and fulfilled. But when you breach it, they don't. And someone or both parties will get hurt as a result of that. And tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about remedies. What happens when you have a breach, and how is the other party that gets hurt from that breach going to be able to collect some degree of damages? And we're going to talk about monetary damages, equitable non-monetary damages, and consequential damages. Those are damages as a consequence of the breach. Let's get into some definitions. Again, remember, repetition's the mother of learning. We're going to see this definition on the exam, so memorize it. What is a contract? It's an agreement between two or more parties creating obligations that are enforceable or otherwise recognizable at law. What is the elements? This helps you understand what a contract is. It's an agreement. It's got to be between competent parties. They got to know what they're entering into. They have to be of sound mind and body. And it's based on genuine assent. You can't have an agreement unless the person understands that this is a contract and these are their obligations, these are their duties, and I'm agreeing to it. It's got to be supported by consideration. Remember, the amount of the consideration is immaterial, but it's got to have consideration. You have to give something to each other. It's got to be a promise for a promise, a something for a something. It's got to be for a lawful purpose subject matter. You can't do a contract for something that is illegal. And lastly, it's got to be in the form required by law. So most contracts that come under contract law don't necessarily have to be in writing. They all should be in writing. But contracts that fall under the statute of frauds have to be in writing. And it's got to be in that form that's required. Let's talk about remedies. And we'll talk about the definition. What is a definition of a remedy? Blacks defines it as the means of enforcing a right or preventing or redressing a wrong by means of providing legal or equitable relief. Legal relief is money. Equitable relief is non-money. Something else on that. Most contract breaches are resolved by damages, monetary damages. That's a legal relief. Law is money. Equity is non-money. And most damages are money. First, what kind of damages do you get? Expectation damages, to put the plaintiff in the position they would have been had the defendant performed, fulfilled the contract. Reliance damages, they put the plaintiff in as good a position as they were prior to the making of the contract. And restitution, this prevents the unjust enrichment of the other party, of the defendant, by returning the plaintiff what they lost, the value that they were injured by. These three damages are what you get back under law. The expectation, what was I going to get out of the contract? The reliance, I was relying on this. They try and put the party back to that position before they relied on it. And lastly, restitution to compensate that plaintiff for the loss that they suffer. Now, not all contract breaches can be satisfied by money damages. And sometimes you need equitable relief. And equitable relief is in a court of equity, obviously. And remember, since 1800, courts and law and equity in the United States have merged. But you can get non-monetary damages. Rescission. Just put me back where I was before the contract. Give me my deposit back if it's a sales transaction. And I'll go buy it someplace else. Turn around and... under certain contracts, particularly contracts for real estate transactions, I can get what is called specific performance. I can have the court order you to perform. I can enjoin you. That means I can direct the breaching party from doing something relating to the contract provisions. Or reformation, I can have the court write out new provisions of the contract so it can be fulfilled. So those are the four non-monetary things. So rescission puts you back before where you were before the contract was made. Specific performance, have the court order that the defendant perform the contract. Injunction, have the court order that the defendant not do something. Or turn around and have reformation, have the court actually rewrite the contract to bring about fundamental fairness. Equity is not often the remedy in contracts. 99% of the time, the courts will go for monetary damages. Contracts tend to be commercial arrangements, and as a result for that, most of the time, the other party can be merely compensated by a monetary payment. That goes through expectation, reliance, or restitution. Those dollars will go from the defendant over to the plaintiff saying, here's the amount of money that you should get because you were harmed. Here's a roadmap of remedies that I think is somewhat helpful. You have a defective performance or waiver breach. You have these remedies. Basically, when you have a contractual limitations remedy, you will have these remedies, or you will have basically monetary damages that come in. But I kind of like this chart because it kind of shows where you can go. Okay, monetary damages. As we said before, monetary damages is the principal remedy for contract breach. Monetary damages are classified as compensatory damages, nominal damages, and punitive. Don't confuse this with expectation damages that we just discussed before. Let me go back and I'll show you that again. Reliance damages and restitution. That's what the damages pay for. Damages that are classified says what is the function of these damages. Compensatory damages include that expectation, that reliance, and the restitution. They're all covered under that. And they're known as direct damages. And compensatory damages, quite frankly, they're the most prominent form of damages, meaning that's what are generally given, and they compensate the plaintiff for the injury as a result of the breach of contract. Within compensatory damages, you have two subsets. One is direct damages. What have you done? That's what we just discussed with the expectation, reliance, and restitution. Those are directly measured damages that you can say, as a result of this breach, I expected X, I relied on X, and I got harmed by this by not having it, so I need the restitution of X. Those are direct damages. Direct damages, also they're referred to in the law as general damages. These are the damages that the law presumes directly follow the wrong complained from in the breach. So they directly flow from the breach of contract. But you can also have what we call consequential damages. Consequential damages are damages that don't directly flow, but indirectly flow as a consequence of the breach. Now, if I turn around and order a race car from you and I say I'm going to pay you $30,000 for this race car, and you're unable to deliver that, my damages are going to be the damages that I need to go out and not only my time, energy, and effort to get a new race car, a replacement race car, but any damages I've had for the delay or anything like that. But a consequential damages aspect of this could be that because I didn't have that race car that I ordered from you, I wasn't able to enter Daytona. And as a result of that, I wasn't able to get a prize for coming in the first three cars of Daytona, which I had traditionally always done with my race cars. And I could say that that's a consequence of the breach. It wasn't a direct damage because I wasn't part of that with the order of the car. But because I didn't have the car on the date that you promised to me, there was a consequence. Consequential damages are only recoverable if they're foreseeable. If the defendant knows that that's happening, if the defendant knows that because of the fact that he didn't deliver the car, I couldn't enter Daytona, and because I couldn't enter Daytona, I couldn't turn around and finish in the top three and win that $100,000 prize. And as a result of that, he could foresee that, and that consequential damage might be able to be recovered as well as the direct damage that I would have. I had turn around and buy a race car from somebody else, and I had to pay $50,000 more for it. So as a result of that, I could sue you for that $50,000 because that's a direct damage. I wasn't able to get the car, and I had to go out to get the car to do. Now, in certain cases, I can get, those are compensatory damages. They're damages that compensate the defendant for the breach of contract. But there's also another two types of damages. They're nominal damages. If I am damaged, but you really can't tell what the amount is, and this is only in certain kinds of cases, defamation being the big one. If I'm damaged, but you can't say, hey, you can't really prove a monetary loss out of that. It was a loss to reputation, and that's hard to put a number on. I can get and I can sue what are known as nominal damages. It's basically the court saying you did something wrong and we're going to recognize it. We can't compensate it with money, and there's no real equitable relief we can get there. So as a result of that, we're just going to punish you by saying here's a nominal damage. And punitive damages are just that, they're punishment damages. They are very seldomly awarded because, again, contracts are generally issues of commercial transactions. But if somebody did something which is so shocking to the court, and the court says these people have to be punished. To give you an example, if you're a commercial enterprise and you're polluting, okay, and you've damaged somebody's water supply, it's not just the cost of trucking in water or building a new water line or finding that person a new water supply, but also the fact that they've done something really bad and something that society wants to punish. So the court can say, in addition to the $250,000 that they're going to need to put in a new water supply from an adjoining town because you polluted the water supply in this town, we're going to punish you for polluting that water supply in this town over and above the damages that this person sued about because we think it's really bad. You polluted, so we're going to punish you. Those are punitive damages. Again, those cases are rare. They don't happen very much. Nominal damages, just as rare. But compensatory damages, that's what happens overall. Most of the time, an overwhelming number of damages are compensatory damages. Now, any plaintiff has a duty to do what we call mitigate damages. If you see you are being harmed, you have to do whatever you can to try and prevent that harm the best you can. If I have a roof contractor who is done a bad job, and the rain is starting to come in to my through my roof, I can turn around and sue him. Say, you got to fix my roof and you got to pay for all the water damage that came in from the roof because you didn't do a proper job. Well, on the day that it's raining, I can't just sit there and watch the rain come through. I have to turn around and do what I can to stop the damage, to mitigate that. So I have to do what I can, you know, throw a tarp on the roof or have a water bucket catch the falling material so it doesn't cause further damage inside the house. Whatever I can do to mitigate that, I have a responsibility to do that. I can't just sit back and say, hey, you didn't do it right and it's going to destroy my entire house, okay? Your cessation of future and further damages, if you have to replace something, to give you an example, if you sell me a lemon car, and again, to avoid that consequential damages, I rent a car. I do that because I can't turn around and just say, I don't have a car, can't get to work. You know, you got to do things to lessen that damage from the contractual breach. And whether that's cessation of further damages, replacement of items, seeking an alternative remedy, you know, when you didn't fix the roof, I can get a contractor over there tomorrow and have it fixed. And then that way I don't have as much damage. If I could still sue the first party who did it wrong. The effect upon a plaintiff who didn't mitigate the damages is if it was shown that they could mitigate them and then didn't, they don't get a recovery for that because they don't want, the courts don't want you to just sit back and say, hey, listen, this was a problem and this guy caused it. And yeah, I could have stopped it, but you know, I figured it's his problem. Well, no, it's your problem too. And the law says we got to be fair. And if you have the ability to mitigate the damage, and you got to be shown that you have to have the ability to do it, then you are equally responsible on that bail. Okay. What about non-monetary damages? Sometimes money won't cover everything. And that's why we have equity. Law provides monetary damages, equity provides non-monetary damages. And there are certain instances when money just provides an inadequate or insufficient remedy. These equitable remedies include rescission, specific performance, and injunction. And let's go through those. Rescission takes the contract as if it never was and puts you back in the place before it was. So, you know, we'll go back to that reference when we say, I have a contract for you to put the pool in my backyard. And you call me up and they have an anticipatory breach and say, listen, I'm sorry, Mr. Farley, I don't make that pool anymore. And I can't fulfill the contract. Well, that's a perfect contract for rescission. I really haven't been damaged that much, other than the fact that I have to find someplace else that might be able to have a similar type of pool and put it in. So what the courts will generally do in those instances is say, let's treat that contract as if it never happened. And any harm that you did as a result of making that contract will be put back into you. So in other words, in that such a case, I put down an $8,000 deposit for the pool and I will get the deposit back on that. They won't force the pool company to put in the pool because they can't, because the pool itself isn't being made by the manufacturer anymore. So what they'll do is they'll turn around and they will say, look at, take your $8,000 deposit, go to another pool company, find the pool that you wanted and do that. That the purpose of that is to put you back in the place where you were before you started. That's known as rescission. Rescission is wiping away the contract and putting the parties back where they were before the contract occurred. Now, what happens if I go to sell my house And I suddenly decide, I don't want to sell my house. I like this house. It's all good. I have a contract to sell the house. Well, the other party wants the house. I've signed a contract. They've signed a contract to sell the house. They can get what we call specific performance. If I've signed that contract, if they've done everything, they paid the deposit, they've, got the inspections, they got the mortgage and everything, guess what? They can sue me for specific performance. They can force me to sell them the house the way I promised, because real estate is unique. And as a result of that, when you have a situation where the entity that you're seeking through the contract is unique and special, sometimes the courts will demand that the contract be enforced, and they will force me to sell the house to the party that I agreed to do that. Okay, that's rare. Generally, it is only when the subject matter of the contract is special and unique that can happen. I'll give you an example that sometimes in sports contracts, they require that ball player to play for that specific team, even if they didn't want to. I don't want to do it. Well, guess what? They can force them to do that if they want to get paid. They wanted to go someplace else. Well, guess what? You can't. The court can say you sign that contract, you have to do specific performance. It's generally, again, where the subject matter of the contract is special and unique. You can't easily replace it. I wouldn't be able to get where I could possibly get specific performance on the sale of a house. I couldn't get it on the sale of a car. Why? I can go out and buy another car, which is identical to the car that I was going to buy from you. Unless this is some kind of custom car, if it's a car just off the car lot that, Toyota makes 8,000 other kinds of cars like that, that is shipped to dealers all over the country. Guess what? I can just go to another dealer and buy the same car. So the court won't do specific performance. They might do rescission. They might do monetary damages. They're not going to do specific performance with that. In a house, however, there's no house like that. There's no yard like that. So they could do specific performance. Next, injunction. When a breach of contract results from a party performing an act that's prohibited in the contract, a possible remedy is injunction. So they order the breaching party not to do that act. That injunction is an equitable remedy. That almost never happens, but it's possible. And lastly, reformation. Reformation is generally where the court tries to save the contract. What they'll do is they'll rewrite the contract to take out the element of the contract that's causing the breach. So they're correcting the contract. That happens a lot when either the contract has a provision that's unconscionable or illegal. The court will just reform the contract by rewriting it to take out that provision so they can save the rest of the contract and allow it to go forward despite that. So you have rescission, putting the contract back before where the parties were before the contract, specific performance where the court orders the breaching party to do what they promised, injunction where they order them not to do something that they weren't going to do, and reformation where they rewrite the contract. Those are your equitable remedies. 99% of the time, you don't deploy equitable remedies. You deploy damages where you pay money. That's it for remedies. We're on next to our next unit, which relates to limitation on remedies. Thanks so much.